Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell with Carver High and Mafia. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Once again, hit the biggest game just like Philly last year. New England hit to win outright, plus the spread, -2.5 hit. Tons of props hit. Now it's hoops and hockey time for you. Get the best picks at PharrellOnTheBench.com. All the NBA plays. College Rack, the biggest games, NHL, every game, boxing, MMA, the biggest fights, daily fantasy rosters, all at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. Hide the money from your wife. And then CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? They got RV and boat on top of that. Get it all at Geico. .com. So I was just looking at some of the games that are going on because we've had like a satellite link up blowout. We don't have any TV. I actually have the CBS Sports Network coming in and HQ. So I'm getting all the news and highlights and scores and everything. And I'm watching Nevada play, but that's the only channels I get. So here's what I got. Jazz 97-78 blowing out the Suns with about, I don't know, 5.5 left, 180 now, a 20-point blowout there. Joe Ingles has 15 and 11 dimes. Rockets putting it on the Kings in Sacktown at the half, 76-45 at the Golden 1. Harden's got 25 at the half. He'll get the 30 easily. The Warriors and Spurs is a good one in the first at least, 33-29. Warriors, who seldom come out to play. Hey, Kevin Durant with 15. The Nuggets lose in Brooklyn to the Nets. How about that? I called them the Jersey Nets. Do you miss the days? Do you rue the days, Carver High? That was your team back in the day when they played in Jersey over at the Continental Airlines Arena.
That's right, in the swamp.
What did they call it before that? Brendan Byrne?
Brendan Byrne. It had a bunch of names. Continental Airlines Arena, Brendan Byrne. It was something, Izod Center.
Izod Center.
Yeah, it had a bunch of names.
Nets win it by 5, 135-130. D'Angelo Russell at 27 and 11 dimes. Pelicans beat the Bulls by 5 in Chicago. Pels get 31 from Julius Randle. Zach LaVine 28 the other way for the Bulls. Bucks win 128-129 over the Wizards. Blow them out. Greek Freak with 43-6-4. And the Mavericks outlast the Hornets by 6 in Dallas. Kemba had 30 in the loss. Doncic, the triple-double, 19-10-11. Not bad for Luka. My name is Luka. Leafs 5-4 over the Senators. And how about the Rangers in a shootout beat the Bruins at the world's most famous Mafia? Did you know that your hockey team had won tonight? Did you even know?
I did see that they came back and won in the shootout. They were up 1-0, I think, and then went down. Boston came back and took the lead, and they fought back and got it in the end.
Nice effort there.
Yesterday you're ticked off that they lost, and then today you're ticked off they win. They can't do you right either way.
Well, who did they lose to the other night? Or was I mad at them for?
The Kings on
the Monday. Kings. They blew that game. They got beat in overtime, right? On a Toffoli goal.
Right, they gave up the goal with like less than a minute left, and then gave up a goal with less than a minute into overtime.
All right, Baylor lost to Texas in Austin, 84-72. TCU by a bucket over Oklahoma State. That was a good game tonight, 70-68. Bama beats Georgia by 15. Colorado over UCLA at Pauly, 84-73. They beat them in Lipstick City. Wisconsin, I think, about to beat Minnesota, 52-46 in Minneapolis. That was the last one I saw. 52-46, the last time I checked. There's about 30 seconds left there. LSU and Mississippi State, how about this? They're in overtime, tied at 83s. I think I need to turn that one on. I got that one. I got that offering going here on the plus. I can go right to it right now. Let's see. I got the overtime going now, Carver Hodge. I got a... underway, Cal and Oregon Ducks up 10 with 9 minutes left in the game. Nevada leads 52-41 at the half in Fort Collins over Colorado State. Nevada up 52-41. Final, Temple 81-63. They blew out UConn. I hit that game. I hit Maryland over Nebraska 60-45 in Lincoln. And then I'm looking for other ones. Here you go. Failure by the Irish tonight, Carver High. They lose to Miami. How embarrassing. 62-47. I mean, Miami's not that good. They're 10-12.
Yeah, they beat Miami down there a couple weeks ago, so Miami returned the favor.
Richmond, 81-67. The Spiders over George Mason. Ole Miss by 4 over A&M. Wichita State wins at East Carolina, 65-49. Indiana State beat Evansville easily. Davidson by 15 over Rhode Island. Georgia Tech gets whacked by Clemson in Atlanta, 65-42. VCU by 10 over GW. Fordham beat UMass. Providence loses at home to the Hoyas, 76-67. A good one tonight in Pittsburgh. St. Bonnie escapes 51-49 over the Duquesne Dukes, who are 15-8, pretty tough. And then Bradley beats Northern Iowa. I'm just looking at games that have some interest. Missouri State, Southern Illinois. Missouri State wins it 65-59. Air Force by 5 over Wyoming. And then Utah-USC getting underway right now in L.A. UNLV, Boise, out of the gates. Broncos up 6-0 early in that one in Boise. So there's tons of action tonight, Carver High. There's a lot of activity, and we can't see very much of it, about 10% of it. I'm watching the overtime right now. It's 85-84 Mississippi State in Starkville. Carver High.
A lot going on.
A lot going on. You don't seem excited tonight about it.
I mean, college rack, we're almost there. We're almost to where you want to be. 1 month to go, get to the conference tournaments, then we really start cooking.
Yeah, that's crazy. I can't wait for that. Conference tournaments and NCAA tournament. I've already got stuff.
That's where it's at.
I've already got stuff brewing. Road trip. I think it's crucial that we, you know, get out and you know, be with the people. With the people. All of the people want to see Varel live. I hear that he juggles. Carver High, they want to meet him publicly, the people. They want to touch him. They want to feel him and get to know him. They can do that on February 23rd at the Offside Tavern in downtown Manhattan. He'll have a feel session where people can feel him and get to know him publicly live with the Islander show he's doing. ILC Podcast Live from 8 to 10 that night at the bar. It's on 14th Street in Manhattan. And there's just
February 28th at the Nassau Coliseum.
Oh, that's an outdoor party.
Correct.
That's a tailgate party. There'll be people puffing doobies at that. Check, check. Are we on the air? Check, 1, 2. So there you go. And Mafia and I are already planning, trying to pull off some huge gigs in Vegas, Atlantic City, Dallas. How about Dallas next month? We'll be there for the Spence Garcia fight, allegedly. We're trying to pull off a bash in Dallas. I have no idea what's happening there, but we're trying to pull it off. We're hoping for some help from that end. That, you know, they'll, like, you know, find us a sports bar that people want to get hammered in and watch Pharrell live the night before the fight. That's what we're looking for, a little love. We're not asking for much. And then either way, we're going to do it down there. One way or the other, we're doing it, allegedly, the show down there at that fight at Jerry's World. It's going to be quite a scene. I don't know. Somebody told me that it's in, like, a building next to Jerry's World. It's not even at the football stadium. I didn't believe that when I heard it. Are you hearing that? Are you feeling that? Are you? Is there any word on that? Because allegedly, I mean, somebody said there's a, like, some kind of building connected to it or something that, or near it, a facility where they might have the fight. I'm like, why would they not have it at the stadium at where the Cowboys play? That's where I think it is. That's where I always believed that's where that fight was going to be. Somebody tried to tell me it was somewhere else, and I wasn't having it. What do you got,
Carter? It says right here, I mean, I'm looking from back when they announced the fight, which was back in November. It says right here, the fight will headline the first Fox pay-per-view card and will take place at AT&T Stadium, the home of the Dallas Cowboys in Arlington.
That's it. End of discussion.
Cowboys owner Jerry Jones is a big boxing fan and wanted to host another major fight at his stadium. Doesn't sound like anything next door to me.
Yeah, there's no next door. Maybe your next door neighbor's going to go to the fight. That's going to be a great fight. Mikey Garcia going up two weights to fight Errol Spence, a dangerous commodity. That guy, he's lethal. Do you think Spence and Bud Crawford are two of the best fighters in the world right now? Fastest and best, you know, in terms of skill, I think they are. Your boy Bud Crawford.
Love my guy, Bud.
We love Bud Crawford.
One of the all-time greats.
They're underway in Fort Collins now. A 10-point Nevada lead. They're 21-1, and they know how to handle their business. They're taking on the 9-13 Rams of Rado State.
I'm kind of ready for Nevada to, like, play real teams again. Like, they, you know, they had a good non-conference back in November, December. But watching them whack these Mountain West teams every night just isn't, you know, it isn't doing it for me anymore.
So do you think they'll be able to go on, like, a run in the NCAAs again this year, Nevada?
Oh, I think that they're gonna definitely have that opportunity. They're going to be what? You figure they're going to be in the top three seed lines.
Right.
I mean, I think they'll be a three, maybe a two, but I think more likely a three.
Yeah, I mean, they're good. You can't deny them a high seed with that record of theirs. Maybe, though, they don't respect their schedule. Do you think there's...
I actually think that's what will give them a three instead of a two. They're probably good enough to be a two, but because of the conference they play in, they might be a three.
How do you feel about, like, their schedule of, like, who they play? You know what I mean? Like,
well, look, the Mountain West is one of those conferences that some years it has a bunch of good teams and some years it doesn't have any. You know, there was a couple years ago where they had a bunch of at-larges, Boise, Colorado. They had Wyoming. They had a bunch of good teams. And now this year it's a down year, but they have one monster team in Nevada.
So they're playing conference games, obviously. But prior to that, they had played Utah. And then they played Akron, Grand Canyon, Arizona State from the Pac-12, USC, Loyola Ramblers of Chicago, UMass, Tulsa, you know, Arc Little Rock, and Pacific and BYU. You know, I mean, I'll give you Arizona State,
I mean,
Loyola.
They played a bunch of Pac-12 teams and beat them, whether it's Arizona State, USC, and Utah. They beat all of them.
The only team they lost.
They don't have that many impressive ones, that's for sure.
They lost. They got blown out at the Pit in Albuquerque. That was it. One bad game, 85.
Their only loss, right?
That was it. They got blown out 85-58 in that game. That's a very average team.
And they play them again this Saturday.
Well, I'm telling you, but they're going to play them at home and kick their ass.
Right.
So here's the deal. When you go to that Pit in Albuquerque, danger happens. It's a tough place to play, believe me you. And anyone's capable of losing there. They constantly pull off these wins at that place. It's a great barn. No doubt about it. 855-212-4227. It's Pharrell on the Bench. This is CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
We're going to talk to Nick Kosmider from The Athletic in Denver in about 15 minutes about the Nuggets. They lost tonight. In Brooklyn, but they've been a really tough team this year, no doubt about it. 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. So we talked to Joe Giglio tonight in Philly. The Clippers and Sixers, that trade is Tobias Harris, Boban, your boy Marjanovic, Mike Scott, and Landry Shamet, Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala, a 2020 first rounder, 2021 unprotected first rounder via Miami, and 2 second rounders. That was quite the deal when you think about it. The Sixers are, basically setting up shop to re-sign and keep the big four, including Harris and Butler this summer. And that's their long-term plan, evidently. Harris, Butler, JoJo, and Simmons to keep them together and see if they can win an NBA championship. And do you feel that they're a legitimate threat now in the East with their so-called all-star lineup, right? Everybody said how they're all all-stars now. This is like allegedly a super team. Do you really consider, I'm just asking, that they're a super team when you compare that team to, and I know they beat the Warriors, right? They went out there and beat them. But do you consider that a super team or just the Warriors in terms of being a super team, an alleged super team?
The Warriors are the only super team.
That's what I think. Do you really think this Philly team's super team?
Four guys that haven't done anything in the league are not a super team. That's not a super team.
They're just an all-star team.
Bunch of really good players that have not won anything.
What do you think, Moff?
I agree with him because when you look at the Warriors opposed to the 76ers, the 76ers are what you want to see from the Warriors, but young and immature in that sense. Because the Warriors, even though these guys all have egos, we know they have egos. They've shown that. Draymond is one of the biggest egos in the game. KD, with all his talking, we know as a drama queen half the time. You know Steph Curry loves everyone talking about Steph Curry. But when it comes down to it, they've sacrificed their egos when it matters most. They play defense. They play hard. They play together. You don't have that in Philly. You have guys that love to score. You have guys that love the attention. You guys have big egos. But when push comes to shove, it's me, me, me. It's not team ball and let's just find the best shot. It's I want to be the man. I'm going to take
it's
the shot.
It's kind of celebrity ball, right?
It is.
It's like I'm famous. Everybody likes watching me on highlight shows. And I'm on TV every night with all my dunks and everything. But when it comes to winning championships and being a legit team that gets the job done and goes all the way, they're not there. I want to see them even get out of the East.
And they can score with the best of them, but when have you ever seen them be a defensive stopper?
Do you think they're going to the NBA Finals?
No, I don't.
So you're willing to go Milwaukee or Toronto or Boston over them?
Yes, absolutely.
In what order?
Right now, I'd say Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston in that order until Boston really starts getting it together because they haven't figured out how to play together completely either yet.
Carver High?
Yeah, right now I would go Boston, Philly, Milwaukee, Toronto.
Wow. So you think the Celtics are better than the way the Bucks have played this year?
I'm saying who I would bet on in the playoffs.
Right. So just you think
I feel the Celtics
when push comes
guys,
to shove that the Celtics are the best playoff team.
Yeah, I mean like the Bucks are going to finish ahead of the Celtics probably in the East, and that's all fine and good. They'll have the big home court advantage, which means absolutely zero in the NBA now, as we know.
Right.
I'm saying if I was going to gamble or bet on who I think will come out of the East, I still go Celtics, Sixers, Bucks, then Raptors.
I just wanted to let you know that I'll be gambling heavily on all of those NBA playoff games ahead of time.
Of course,
I want to give
the
you
the only way to keep an interest in the NBA.
Well, I mean, in the playoffs, I'll bet on every game every night. So I just wanted to let you know that ahead of time. So it's a forewarning of what's to come that I'll be betting on all of those games. So will Mafia. Mafia, he went in game tonight on the Bucks and dropped 20. And they, what'd you drop, 21?
Yeah, they were up 20, laying like 21 or 21 and a half, so I figured it was still in the third. They were going to really run them out of the gym. And
what'd they win by, 19?
19, to let them get back in.
That's highly unfortunate.
I also took Golden State laying that 14 and a half that I got up to without the two big stars for San Antonio.
Hey, how are they doing? Because, you know, I told you before it was like a close game. My thing is I want to see how they do without – so what I'm seeing is tonight they're not playing Aldridge. Is that accurate? Or DeRozan? And then tomorrow night they're not going to play him either.
They're up right now, according to the scoreboard, 45-38 with 6.5 left.
No, it's 49-45 Warriors now. So that's that. Warriors are still up in that game. And they're up 6, 49-43. And I just want to look at, for the sake of it, just to make sure in terms of who they have going here. Yeah, they're not playing. Those guys aren't even playing tonight at all. They got Gay, Burton's, Poeltl, Jakob Poeltl, Patty Mills, and Bellinelli in the game. They're also playing Cunningham, Powell, Forbes. I thought that guy played in our league, Mafia. And Walker the fourth, Larry Walker, is that the former player for the Rockies? Larry Walker? I didn't know he was playing for the Spurs now. I'm just kidding. It's not that funny. Kevin Durant, 15. I told you before, he's lighting it up as usual. Klay has 12. Curry, 1 of 6 from the floor, 0 for 2 from downtown so far. He has not yet found his groove. And then everything else, Utah checked in 116-88. They got it done in Salt Lake Shakers. So, by the way, the Heat traded Tyler Johnson, Wayne Ellington to the Suns for Ryan Anderson. Have you ever seen anything like this guy, Ryan Anderson, how he gets shuffled around like a deck of cards every year? Have you noticed that one? He's like, he gets moved around. Johnson, though, was averaging 10-2-2 in 25 minutes. So He had 1 year left on his contract, and assuming he opts in for $19.3 million next season, he also has a 15% trade bonus value at $1 million. The tax bill in Miami will drop from $9.7 million to $1.7 million, and it would drop further if Kelly Olynyk misses out on his million bonus for playing 1,700 minutes, which he is not on pace to do. So there you go. Miami will create a $6.2 million trade exception with the deal, which Ellington must approve. Anderson was averaging 3 points and three rebounds in his first season with the Suns. He also has played for the Rockets, Pelicans, Magic, and Nets in his career, averaging 12 and 5. He's averaging 3 points for the Suns. I mean, he's like, it's end of the road for him now, isn't it? Pretty much. Isn't that what that says right there? My God. Assad in Toronto, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing? I'm going to bug you again. I called you last week about AD to Toronto.
Right.
And what do you think if nobody offer, do you think they will take our offer? Or what would be the best trade scenario for Toronto? What should Toronto
Well, what offer is Toronto making that I'm not hearing about?
Well, Toronto was offering two first-round picks, Siakam, OG, Ananobi, and Valanciunas.
Oh yeah, I'm not believing any of that at this point. Now I don't know. Do you think that deal's happening, Carver High?
No.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that Anthony Davis is going to the Raptors all of a sudden. To be honest with you.
Yeah, the Raptors aren't getting anybody.
I really, you know, to be honest with you, I don't have a problem with the team they have right now. What's wrong with it? I mean, aren't they in the thick of it? They're in. You know, they're 39-16. They're second in the East. All they do is win. I mean, they win at home, win on the road, win in the division, win in the conference. I mean, they're lighting it up.
Well, we know when they have to win, and they haven't won there yet.
In the playoffs.
So that's when they have to
win. They never win in the playoffs.
So let's see if this group with Kawhi can actually do that, because I bet that they won't, and then he'll go walking out the door for nothing. Another wasted year for the Raptors.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so I wanted to tell you about this, like, Kyle Lowry. There's a lot of people wondering if, and we'll get into it later, but that, you know, he wonders if he's going to get dealt now out of Toronto by tomorrow's deadline. We'll get into that. I want to get into some one other thing, Mafia. The world's best, including Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, and Dustin Johnson, take on the breathtaking yet brutal golf courses at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am this weekend on CBS. Nick Kosmider covers the Nuggets for the Athletic in Denver, and he was at the game tonight against the Nets in Brooklyn. How's it going, Nick?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man. So, tell me about the game tonight. We had, like, our TVs all went out because of the storm. Obviously, you saw it was pouring in Brooklyn, too, probably. What happened tonight in that game? It seemed like it was a good game.
Yeah, that rain was starting to come down just before I went into the building. But, you know, the Nuggets came out firing. I mean, they had gotten killed in Detroit two nights earlier. So they came out with a good pace, built up a big early lead. But then they just let go of the rope defensively. And that's been the last two games has been a real problem for them. They gave up 129 and then 135 tonight to the Nets. So as much progress as the Nuggets have made this year, again, second place in the Western Conference, huge turnaround. If they can't get that fixed, what they did tonight, and get that turned back the other way, I think we could see a slide from this team. So they go to Philadelphia Friday. That's not going to be any easy task in terms of trying to get back on track, but that's the task ahead of them.
So you saw D'Angelo Russell tonight lit it up. How about that guy, 27 and 11 dimes in that game?
He was excellent. You know, and D'Angelo Russell, you know, Michael Malone, the Nuggets coach, talked about that before the game. It's a great example of, you know, a lot of times in this league, whether it's, you know, fans, media, you know, maybe even coaches or front offices are quick to kind of, you know, put labels on a guy or just sort of decide where he's going to be. And, you know, it's a credit to Russell, man, that he's been able to, you know, continue to get better, put himself in position to become an all-star this year. And he certainly played like that. The Nuggets had no answers for him. I mean, they gave up 19 threes to the Nets tonight, so they didn't really have answer for anybody. But D'Angelo Russell was, you know, the second time I've seen him play in person this year, and he's as good as advertised right now.
So tell me about when they got Barton back into their lineup, Will Barton.
Yeah, so obviously he went out second game of the year, October 20th with that groin injury, had to have surgery, was out about 3 months, and they just got him back kind of toward the end of January. So he hasn't been back that long, maybe about 6 or 7 games, and it's been a slow progress. I mean, the Nuggets have only played with their opening night starting lineup for for a game and a half, because once Barton got back, you had Gary Harris was hurt for a while, Jamal Murray was hurt, now Paul Millsap is hurt. So they just really, it's been interesting, as good as the season has been, they've done it without having the original lineup that they intended basically at all. So it's been a slow comeback for Barton. He had 20 points, had a real good night in a huge win over Minnesota back on Saturday night. But last two games, he's really struggled, and they're going to need him to get going, because they don't have as much small forward depth as they do at some other positions. So they're going to really need him to get back to his form from, when the season started.
Nick Kosmider from The Athletic in Denver with us on the bench. Trey Lyles had a really good game tonight. More than he usually does. He was hitting from the floor, from the line. He hit a couple of threes. He had some boards. He had a steal, had a dime. I mean, that's a good game from him. What is he in, about year three now?
This is his fourth season. So he 2 years in Utah, then got traded to Denver in the summer of 2017 during the deal that eventually netted Utah Donovan Mitchell. So certainly the Nuggets did not come out on the right end of that one. But Lyles has been kind of up and down this year. I mean, he had a really strong start to the season, but just really has had a bad dip from the three-point range. And when you're a stretch four in this league, as you know, that's something you have to be able to consistently do is shoot the ball. And sometimes for him, if he's not shooting, it's hard for him to find other ways to contribute. But the last couple games, he's been a silver lining because, again, they haven't played well, particularly defensively. But he also had a nice night in Detroit. So the hope for Denver is that this is the start of something with him where he's going to continue to give them consistent effort, because, they're going to have everybody clicking in order to do any kind of real damage in the playoffs.
How about Monty Morris? He's a guy that's about a 10 a game pop, and then tonight he had a big game. He had 18, and in like the last couple of weeks he's been averaging around 14, and in February even more than that. Where the hell, I know he's out of Iowa State, but where did this come from where he's starting to explode and score all these buckets?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a hell of a story. I mean, again, this guy was the first 51st pick in the second round. Played on a two-way contract last year. It was mostly in Rio Grande, Texas, right on the Mexican border, playing basketball. But nobody was really sure like what he was gonna do this year. They signed him. Really, the thought was that he would be the third point guard because they thought Isaiah Thomas, who they signed in July, would be back. Maybe around November, December. He's still not back, and Monte Morris has just been excellent. You mentioned it. Last six games, he scored at least 17 points in every single one of them. And people look at Monte Morris and say, this is a guy who handles the ball. He doesn't make mistakes. He's a great facilitator. But it's underrated how well he does at scoring the basketball. A guy who's shooting as well as he ever has had, even in college, and then has a great in-between game, can score off the floater, gets to the rim. He's been a huge, pleasant surprise for the Nuggets. And is a big part of their success this year.
And, Malik Beasley, the same kind of thing. This guy's in his second year, whatever, and he's been going off. Like, in just these few games here in February, he's been lighting it up for over 20-some a game. And then I think he had 17 tonight. He hit three downtown shots. I mean, you can't deny that some of these no-name guys that no one's ever heard of are lighting it up.
Yeah, that's such a huge part of their success this year. Malik Beasley, just the other night, in a huge win against the Rockets, who the Nuggets had lost to 9 straight times, Malik Beasley comes out and scores a career-high 35 points. He was excellent, and it's really an opportunity with him. I mean, first 2 years, he really didn't get off the bench a whole lot. This year, he's gotten thrust into a big role. Injuries have played a part in that, but he has totally taken advantage of his opportunity and has been a really indispensable member of that rotation. So, I talked to staff around the team and others around the league who think that this stretch he's on is sustainable because he has such a clean shot. His athleticism does him so many favors. So, you look at that backcourt, they have some real assets there. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that going forward.
So, Nick, tell me about Murray. He's playing with didn't he roll his ankle or something? And then he still was able to hit for 19 in this game tonight. His average is about 18 and a half. Is he playing on a bum ankle or something?
Yeah, this was his first game back tonight after missing six in a row. So he had been out, and before that, his first two seasons, he only missed one game during that entire time, and that was because of concussion. So him missing time is something very new for him. It was rare. It was really hard for him to deal with. And so, he came back tonight. I thought that he looked pretty good, especially second half. He really kind of started to get it going, helped them sort of stage a comeback. They were down by as many as 21 and got it to single digits or close to single. Yeah, they got it to within five. So he certainly, I thought 19 points, 11 assists for his first game back after missing six was a nice sign for them, because he's probably their second best player behind Nikola Jokic. And so they definitely needed him back, and I think he'll just continue to kind of get back into rhythm going forward here until the All-Star break.
Mick Kazmider with us from The Athletic in Denver. How about Mason Plumlee? The guy never has a game like he had tonight. I mean, he dropped 24. He had six boards, three swats, a steal. I think he fouled out, but that's incredible. 24 from him. He's a seven-point guy. He never lights it up like that.
No, his previous season high was 17 points. He almost had that in the first quarter. He was the reason Denver got out to that early lead that I talked about earlier. They got up by, I believe, 14 points in the first quarter. He was everywhere. His energy was fantastic. And I talked to him in the locker room after the game. And, you know, obviously he was drafted here by Brooklyn, Mason Plumlee was. And, they traded him after two seasons. So I traded him to Portland. So he's, I think, every time he gets to face the Nets, I've heard him say it before, it's something that he really gets up for. And 24 points was a season high. It was only three off of a career high. So he was excellent tonight. Mason Plumlee, he's another guy who he could start at center for a lot of teams. Obviously, the Nuggets have, you know, arguably the second, you know, first or second best center in the NBA, and Nikola Jokic. So he plays behind him, but started tonight with Paul Millsap injured and certainly made the most of it.
So, I mean, Jokic is a freak. The guy's been everything for them. He's averaging 20 a game. He had 25 tonight, 14 rips, 10 dimes, a triple-double, a block shot, a steal. He's a freak. When they have this team, the way they have it, he's the star, obviously, if you ask me. And the way he passes, it reminds me of Sabonis. The guy can really dish it. Do you anticipate him doing anything by tomorrow, or do they love this team the way it is?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I think my gut tells me, and sort of just kind of hearing things around here, is I think the most likely scenario is that the Nuggets stand pat. Mentioned as we've gone through this here in this interview, we've talked about the depth that they have at all these different positions. There might be a time where you can kind of consolidate some of that to try to go out and get a star player. But I think that's probably more of a thing they look at in the offseason. I think right now with how well they're doing, this is the unit I think they want to ride with to the playoffs and then kind of go from there, see what you can do in free agency, and then maybe make a trade going forward into the offseason. But again, I think the most likely scenario for the Nuggets is they stand pat. You know, that they could add maybe a guy in the buyout market after the trade deadline has passed, somebody who could give you a little more depth, particularly on the defensive end. But I don't expect any big splashes from the Nuggets tomorrow.
I mean, I think the Nuggets and Bucks have the best home records in the NBA. And, I mean, you win in your division like nobody's business. You win in the conference. Overall, you just flat-out win, and, you know, you score a lot. Do you think they're good enough to do damage in the Western Conference playoffs? Are they legit? Are they for real? Or will, if they face the Warriors, will they get their ass beat?
Yeah, it's a million-dollar question, because this is a group that none of them have really been in that postseason fire just yet. Paul Millsap has been to some playoffs with the Hawks, but the main core of this team, guys like Nikola Jokic, Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Malik Beasley, Monte Morris, none of these guys have been in the playoffs yet. So, again, you never know how a young team is going to react that first time that they get a taste of the playoff action. So that's going to be the biggest wild card in all this, is how they handle it when they get there. That being said, if they are able to hold on to the number two seed that they have right now, I think you give yourself a chance, to get favorable matchups. I mean, they play the Thunder really well. They play the Trailblazers really well. The Spurs, they've done a pretty good job with. So if they're able to get a matchup to where they can avoid Houston, the team that really gives them problems, until maybe avoid Houston and then not have to play Golden State till the Western Conference Finals, I think that's their ceiling. I think they can get to the Western Conference Finals if it all falls right for them. They're not ready to beat Golden State just yet. Maybe going forward, but they're among a large group of teams in this league that just aren't there, don't have the firepower to contend with Golden State. But if they they win a series or two and really start to rise, I think that would really put a cap on a special season.
Well, how do they do when they play the Warriors?
They're 1-1 this year, so they beat the Warriors first time. And going back over the last 3 years or so, the Nuggets are a team that has played the Warriors pretty well. I think they have about a 500 record against Golden State in the regular season over the last 3 years. So they match up pretty well, you know, just because of the way their playing style, and they can get up and down with Golden State pretty well. But again, in the playoff setting, it's a completely different thing. And they played Golden State a couple weeks ago at home, and this was when Denver was actually in first place. Golden State was a half game back, and there was a lot of talk about how well Denver was doing. Golden State, I think, kind of took some of that personally, came out and scored 51 points in the first quarter on the way to a rout. So when Golden State gets up for you, they can turn it on. And the Nuggets aren't quite there yet. But again, this has been a special season with a lot of basketball still to go.
Wow, great stuff. Yeah, that game they lost 142-111. They got blown out. Nick, great stuff tonight on the Nuggets. Good luck the rest of the way on the road trip. Thanks for coming on the bench on CBS Sports Radio.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, Nick Kosmider from The Athletic in Denver. And they lost tonight to the Nets by 5. Some really good games tonight in the NBA and in college basketball. I'm watching this Nevada team. They're about to finish off Colorado State. They're dropping alley-oop dunks right about now. I saw a baseline backdoor cut dunk that was just sickening for the Wolfpack. They're up in Fort Collins. We're keeping our eyes on everything late night tonight on the bench.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.